Thanks for listening to the Last Days podcast with Dr. Todd and Katie Holmes. To stay connected, please check out the River of Tri-Cities Church on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, or online at riveroftricities.com. The Last Days podcast can be found on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Now, here's Dr. Todd and Katie Holmes.
Your kids, they don't need another friend. They need parents, and they need parents who can put them in line as much as they may hate
us. This is from an 18-year-old. So you think that kids, you're a teenager, they need boundaries?
Absolutely.
And they need to be disciplined if they go out of the boundaries?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%.
Okay. Now, I never actually talked to, I've heard Bryce talk a little bit about this before, but not with Ethan here. and so, I mean, you guys know that it's kind of a wave of things going, and it's going not just through society, but through the church also. It's like, you know, you shouldn't spank your children. And just more of a softer parenting and approach like that. Now let me just say this. So if your mom and I, if we had disciplined you in that way, do you think that you would be where you are right now in life, or would you be in a better place or in a lesser place? What did we do as far as parents in the areas of correction and discipline and everything like that that you felt was good, or did you think we were over the top? Just go ahead.
No. I mean, when you're a kid, it definitely feels like your parents are going over the top when, you know, you're getting the belt. But
you got spanked when you shouldn't have one time. Bryce did something wrong and hit or something like. What was that?
That was wrong. Oh. We were both up one night. We had this like little
shenanigans.
Because we had bunk beds.
Yes, and we had a CD player and we would listen to music. And we had a little racetrack in the middle of our room.
Our
and
wheels.
We'd get up. And we were danced to is the Father Abraham song. And we were going around, and we heard our dad coming down the hall, and Bryce got into, he hopped onto the back of the bunk
beds. Well, you got to explain the way that our room was, the typical, like, square room,
yeah.
And the door, but the door was on, it had angled a little bit, so it was like, almost like a little square, and then just a little bit of like a 45-degree angle at one of the corners. Instead of it being a corner, it was a 45-degree angle.
When you walk
angle.
In the door,
so that's
you can't
where the door
really
was.
See the back.
Yeah, because
of the
when you walk in, the bunk bed was against the wall.
To the right.
Yeah, to the right of you, or to the left of you as you're walking in the door.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it's sitting there a long ways. And so you have the beds. You can see where the beds are, but because the back of the bunk bed, you can't see really on towards the back of it. And so
yeah.
That was my hiding place.
Yeah, well, so that
just
night,
climb up on top of it.
I wasn't going around the track. It was just Bryce. He was doing his little dance.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I was tired, and so he heard my dad coming, so he jumps onto the back of the bunk bed.
Which obviously my dad heard me.
Yes, my dad opens the door, and I guess I must have moved or something. He saw a little commotion going on there, and so he pulls me out of bed and spanks me.
And as he's spanking him, I probably crawled back up in bed, put the covers over me, turned the other way, and fell asleep.
Yeah, so, I mean. And
so at that time, it was a little over the top.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
And are you scarred because of this?
Permanently.
Permanently.
No, not really.
But you know, let me just say this, and then I want you to go back in. Sometimes, as parents, you don't do things that are exactly right. Mm. You make mistakes. And I want to tell you, as a parent, you have to be willing to actually go, and my boys have heard me come up to them and say, hey, I'm sorry I did that.
Yeah.
I was wrong. I was angry. Had a bad attitude. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said what I did in that tone or whatever it is. Have I apologized to you guys before?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And so you have to be able to do that as a parent because you're not perfect. Kids aren't perfect, but neither are parents.
Right.
Okay. And so as parents, we have to understand, okay, I'm doing my very best, but sometimes my best isn't the best, what I think I can do. And believe God, he's going to make up the difference. And you have to walk in love in a family, you have to walk in love. Yes, there's discipline. Yes, you're going to spank their butts sometimes, but you have to really love too. You have to love a lot. Mm-hmm. You have to have like seven times more love than you do correction.
Yeah.
And so go ahead, Ethan. So talking, you said, you know, sometimes it felt like the, you know, sometimes as a kid, you might have thought that punishment was, you know, quite a bit, but go ahead.
Yeah, it's still definitely needed. And, you know, the kids are always going to over-exaggerate a little bit, so you may feel bad, but in the long run, it is what is right and what is needed, because kids are actually smarter than you think. They'll notice if you don't discipline for something, and they will test it, mm-hmm. and they will keep pushing in that area. And if you don't do anything about it, you know, they're just going to keep going and going. It's that they're rebellious. And, you know, if they keep going, they'll start running around and like little devils running around. I've seen it before. And so you just.
Yeah, in kids' church.
Yeah.
Please discipline your kids so that the workers in kids' church can be good towards them.
Yeah, so I don't got to grab them and spank them for you.
Yeah, because sometimes those kids, they push your limits in kids' church. And I mean,
in church?
I've seen, yes. In
church.
My goodness. Well, but.
No, go ahead. Talk a little bit here.
No, I'm just thinking of examples that pop into my head. But like, even the kids, I've seen kids in kids' church who must not be getting, you know, must have not gotten disciplined correctly. Because they were always the kids who would end up hurting the other kids and being disrespectful towards the helpers. And it's just because their parents, you know, that's the way they were with their parents. Yep. And
you think that's not just a church thing? You think this happens
at home?
What's
going on at home.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, because kids will act at church how they do at home.
Mm-hmm.
And
so if they're disciplined at home, those who are working in the children's ministry, they can tell, you're telling me this, the kids, the people who are working, helping in children's ministry, they can tell what the home life is like just by how the kids behave.
Absolutely.
Yep. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So.
And we'll talk about your kids too.
Wait, what?
We'll talk about your kids.
This one over here, gotta watch him.
Keep out for a little Johnny over here. He tests your patience.
Okay, wow. So this is very enlightening here. So what do you think? Okay, so you say sometimes there needs to be more discipline. What about, okay, let's just go somewhere real, okay? Okay, let's just go somewhere because it's a real deal now that we deal with in churches. You got kids on the spectrum.
Yeah.
And so parents say, well, I don't know how to deal with my kids because they're somewhere on the spectrum here.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, maybe what the Word of God says it can't really be applied to them because have to kind of use kid gloves with them.
Mm-hmm.
Special situation. Any thoughts about that? When you guys have been working in children's ministry, Have you dealt with, or youth ministry, have you dealt with kids that are on the spectrum and the way you know that are able to tell what's going on as far as in the home or anything like that? Any thoughts?
You know, depending on the severity of the case that you're dealing with, obviously, you know, it varies as to what's happening because, you know, some kids have, you know, something going on in their mind, and they might have, you know, a lack of control over their body, over their motor functions and what they're doing, what they're thinking. And some of them might not have any control at all. But most of the time, those who do not have any control at all are the ones who are, you know, wheelchair bound or something.
Right.
Usually they're just staying with their parents.
Yeah, they're not going to be in the kids' ministry. Yeah.
But the ones that are still in there and that might, you know, have, you know, whatever it is, autism is probably one of the most common. They still have, the kids still have control over what they do. And many times, yep, just because of the way the brain has developed and everything, they're still going after affirmation for their actions.
Yep.
And so if, you know, if you're just looking at a kid and laughing at them because, you know, they may be doing something that's funny, but maybe they're not supposed to be doing it, of course they're going to continue doing that. Right. I know a person that I used to know, who was actually, well, I mean, the person that I do know, that used to be, you know, closer to, literally, because they're in Tampa and I'm up here. But they were healed from autism, and they said that when they, you know, had autism and everything, it was like they knew what was going on outside of their body, outside of their mind, but it was like they were in a cage. And so they could see, you obviously they can still recognize words, still recognize commands and everything. They just don't, or they're not able to respond to them in a way that would be considered normal, because it's like being held hostage in your own body. And so your kids still know, even if they're dealing with that, they still know what's right and wrong. They still know what they're supposed to do, what they're not supposed to do. And so you still have to be firm with them. You can't just use their disability as an excuse to not discipline them.
Yeah.
Because I have seen, you know, kids who are on this, on the spectrum. And I went to school with a guy in high school, and he would have been, you know, considered on the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
But very smart, very disciplined. And I really do think that that's because of the way that he was brought up. Like, yes, he had this, what people would consider a disability, but he was still fine. But then I've seen examples of other kids who have had, you know, the same disability, and they just are, they're crazy, and they can't be controlled by their parents. And it's because their parents didn't make discipline excuses. Them. Right. They made excuses, and they're just, oh, you know, because he's this way, we'll just let him get away with that. You can't just do that.
Yeah. I mean, and there are different ways to discipline your child, and you have to see which one works best for that child. Most of the kids on the spectrum know when they're doing something wrong. Mm-hmm. Almost all of them do. And so they know when something's wrong, and they know when something's right. And so you still have to discipline them, and there are, you know, levels of disciplining kids. So you just have to find what actually works with your kid. Mm-hmm. And so that may take a little bit of time, but it'll definitely be worth it.
That's awesome. So in this area, so you guys, you received discipline when you were being raised. And so you are of the belief that discipline is a positive thing.
Yes.
But what, have you heard of stories where parents were like over the top in their discipline, literally?
Oh yeah.
Where kids were hurt. They were abused.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so, and in a Christian home.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so the thing is that is wrong. And that is not acceptable.
Yeah.
You have to have limits, and parents, if they don't discipline in love, if you discipline out of anger, you're going to hurt somebody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're going to hurt your child, and you're going to regret it, and you just might go to jail.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're angry, you may have to take a break before you discipline your child, because you have to remember you're disciplining out of love, and you have to let them know that too. You have to tell them that.
Yeah. Yeah. There are many times before I got a spanking, Dad would say, I'm doing this because I love you. And while, you know, as a child, I may not understand that, I do now, and I'm very thankful for the discipline that I received, because I realize if I had not received it, then I would be like many of these people who just run around and do whatever they want. Those are the type of people that you see in the riots all over America. They're looting and all of these things, people who pull firearms out on other people just because they get upset because they have anger issues that were not addressed with when they were younger. And people who aren't, you know, just sleeping around with everybody because they had no discipline in their lives, no moral code that they operated by. There wasn't a distinction of you can't do this in the home. It was you just do whatever you want, just be careful when you're doing it. It can't be like that.
So you think that as parents, as they're raising their kids, should there be like a house vision? This is the direction that we're going in this house.
Yes.
And this is, you're with us. And so kind of like the Word of God says, as for me and my house, mm-hmm. we will serve the Lord.
Yeah.
Is that considered in some households, you think, extreme?
Unfortunately today, yes. Because the way, I mean, we live in America, so I'm just going to speak on that perspective, but just the way that America is going is they want a breakdown in the family. They yeah. want the kids to be able to do what they want. They want the parents to consider, you know, what the kids want, how they should grow up. You know, if your kid wants to do this, let them do that. You know, if your kid feels like they're a girl, they're probably a girl. No, if you're born a boy, you're a boy. And yeah. so you don't, because you love them, you don't let them go a certain way. You know, I was listening to a debate that this guy did recently, and he was saying, you know, if you come home as a 15-year-old and you're a boy and you're like, you know what, I think I'm a girl, your parents should love you enough to explain to you, no, you're wrong. You're obviously dealing with something mentally or spiritually, that something is wrong, and we are going to fix it. We're going to get help.
Yeah.
Right. And so
what kind of help? Because, you know, if you go to like help for like a psychologist or mm-hmm. psychiatrist, they're going to tell you, you can't tell them what they can do. They can be whatever they want to be.
Yeah. Many people don't realize that when you're dealing with physical things, physical problems, it is often because there's a spiritual problem behind it.
Yeah.
Sickness is a result of a demonic attack on your body.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because we know that as Christians, Jesus came that by his stripes we are healed. Not we're trying to get healed, we are healed right now. Healing is ours, it's the children's bread. And so if we are sick, it's because of an attack of the enemy, or also because you're not being a good steward of the body that God has given you.
Right.
And so there are natural things as well. But when you're dealing with something in the mind, usually it's because the enemy is attacking the mind.
Yeah.
And so people don't realize, but things like depression, things like anxiety, there are spirits behind those things. And so if you think that you can just take natural medication and find natural supplements for this thing, then you're doing it wrong, because there needs you do need to
there's
still
a difference
do.
Between natural supplements and medication, though.
Right.
So you're saying that they should do neither?
No, what I'm saying is that it cannot just be that you're taking medication to solve something.
Okay.
Or all taking right. supplements.
I just wanted to clarify to what you were saying there.
Yeah. But I'm saying that that can't be the only thing that you do. Like, yes, you do need to do natural things, but you also need to address the spiritual aspect of a problem
okay,
that's
very good.
Going on.
Yeah.
Because a pill isn't going to get rid of a spirit.
Right.
And you can't counsel a demon.
Exactly.
Nope. And
you
so,
have to get free. You have to get into the anointing.
Yeah, you have to get into the Word. You have to address it with the Word.
So if a child is misbehaving, the answer is not pull them out of church.
No.
Right.
Should be get them in church more.
I remember as I was youth pastoring, I had to talk to some parents one time, because when their kids who were teenagers would misbehave, their punishment was you can't go to youth group. and so I pulled this it was a mom. I pulled her aside, and her name was Pam. I said, Pam, I said, you're really hurting. You're hurting me, and you're hurting your own family, because when your daughter, her name was Megan, when she does something wrong, I said, instead of disciplining her in a way that is going to help her change, instead you hurt the situation by telling her that her punishment is you can't go to church and to youth group. And she goes, well, because that's what she likes. I was like, it's good that she likes youth group.
Yeah.
And she's getting something positive there that is going to help her be the woman that she needs to be. But if all you do is you take out the spiritual aspect from their life as punishment, you're creating a problem.
Yeah.
And so parents have to realize that you have to do the wise thing. And taking your kids out of church is not the wise thing to do. And especially if you're going to a church where, you know, the power of God is manifest, the word of God is being preached, the love of God is being, you know, displayed, and it's being felt by people. You need your kids in the presence of the Lord. They need to be around other young people, other kids that are thriving in the things of God, and they need that positive influence in their life of others their age that are doing the right thing, that are living the right way.
Yeah.
You need godly influence. Have you guys ever, as young people, have you ever felt that it was necessary for you to put some peer pressure on any of the kids that you were around to help them go in a right direction?
Yeah.
Any particular thoughts about that as far as our example or anything like that? Something you felt in your heart, hey, I need to, as a friend, I need to, you know, be a kind of firm here with a friend of mine.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I've had to do that a few times because I've had friends that they were just, you know, doing kind of whatever they wanted to, hanging out with whoever they wanted to. I remember I messaged one of them. I was like, you know that these people are not good for you. And, you know, that person got mad at me, but they knew I was right. And eventually they, you know, they came around, they stopped hanging out with those people because they realized, you know, that that's wrong for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, out of love and a true friend will do that for you. You know, if your friend doesn't stick up for you, if your friend doesn't have what's best in mind for you, it's not your friend at all.
Yeah.
And so if your friend sees you going down a path that's not good for you and doesn't say something, that's really not your friend. And if you're not being that friend to someone else, you really don't love them.
Very true.
Okay. Well, that's some pretty straight words. You think that sometimes the influence that you might be at church is, can I say it in this way, is equally important to sometimes the move of the Holy Spirit even.
Mm.
And because, you know, a friend loves at all times, the Word of God says.
Yeah.
And people have heard me say for many, many years, everybody needs the Holy Ghost and a friend.
Yep.
Yep.
And so even with young people, it's so important that you might think, well, my kid doesn't need youth group because they're already spiritually mature, or they know more than the person who's going to be leading, or my kid, you know, is at another level. They don't need all of this. But how about the influence? If they are all that spiritually, the influence that they could be on other young people is so important.
Yeah.
Would you guys agree?
I would agree. I mean, as much as I don't like to admit it, I looked up, I still do, to Bryce quite a bit. And once he was, I don't know, maybe 15, 14, when I saw him really start to press in, that like kind of made me want to start pressing in as well and start getting in God's presence, not living off of his presence at all or anything, but getting it for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's how it is with a lot of other kids. With a lot of kids in youth group or in kids' church, they always have somebody who they look up to. And a lot of times, you don't know if you're the person being looked up to, but you have to be that example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there's been times in my life where I've had friends even to where the Holy Spirit had already spoken something to me, and I, you know, I wasn't listening. And so when they said it, I was like, oh, you know, I should really probably do this. And so, That is why you need the Holy Spirit, and you need a friend, and a friend that's sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit as well. Because you have the Holy Spirit working inside of you, and so you're able to be that witness to somebody else. You're able to be that voice of the Holy Spirit and the voice of God to someone who might need it. And yeah. So it's absolutely, you know, important that whoever you are, you're listening to the Holy Ghost, but you also have Holy Ghost friends. And it's also important to be that Holy Ghost friend to someone else, whether they like it or not.
Okay. Very, very important things that you're hearing here from these guys, as far as, you know, how their lives have been affected, not just by parents, but by peers, and how that they realize that their influence on other young people has been very, you know, very important. Looking back, let me just kind of change tracks maybe a little bit. I don't know. Is there some things that, as you look back at our family in particular, that you would say, you know, if this would have been a little different, this would have been better? Because like I said, you know, parents aren't perfect. You start having kids and you've never had kids before. You know, how do you do stuff and everything like that? Or, you know, would something have been better, do you think? Or is there some things that whether we did or didn't, that could have been better, or some things that stand out that says, you know, when as parents I experienced this really helped me? Either way, good or bad or ugly or anything.
I know I really didn't enjoy it when you guys made salmon patties for dinner. That's definitely something that could have been better, maybe worked on a little bit. maybe have another dinner option.
Well, maybe the problem is that they should have fed us more of a variety of things when we were younger so that we didn't grow up to be so picky.
yeah, I would say we're a little bit picky.
But I'm working on it.
No, he's not.
One of the things I wish is that all of the TV shows and movies that we weren't allowed to watch, that you guys would have actually watched them before you came to the conclusion that we weren't allowed to watch them. Because I remember not being allowed to watch Phineas and Ferb.
Yeah.
And I still have no reason why.
It's a great show.
And Mom, because eventually, you know, we watched it and everything. But I remember growing up, we weren't allowed to watch it. But as we got older into our teenage years, we were watching it. And I remember Mom came in and she's like, "What is this?" And it was like Phineas and Ferb. And she watched it for a little bit and she thought it was hilarious. And we were like, "Mom, why weren't we allowed to watch this?" And she was like, "I don't know."
How funny.
So I think maybe there were some things that.
We didn't let you watch Teletubbies either.
Yeah, I was about to say, what are your thoughts on
that was because it annoyed you guys, not because it was.
I will tell you, a lot of times parents things that annoy them, they'll just like, "No, I don't want it in my house. This irritates me." And I don't know. For Phineas and Ferb, I couldn't really tell you at all. I still don't even know what it is. But but the thing is, I don't know. I doubt it came from me. I don't know. It might have come from Mom. But maybe it could have been. It turned on and it was at a time where it's just like, I don't like that. I don't know. And sometimes you hear just a little bit of something.
I don't like that.
And so, yeah. But you got to watch JJ the jet plane.
Yeah.
And Thomas the tank engine or whatever.
Thomas the tank engine fanatic.
You were. You both were.
As a three-year-old.
Yeah.
And you went to special Thomas events.
The day out with Thomas.
Yeah, we would travel to other cities just to take you to that. And so they were really into that stuff, pretty big. But you know, at different times in our lives, because when I was raised, I think it was in seventh grade, Star Wars came out.
Mm-hmm.
My whole class went to see it. I wasn't allowed to go see it. And I look back at Star Wars now and I think, why wasn't I allowed to see that? Okay. And so I was like bummed and I was like, why? I don't know. But it was the ruling that was made. I went along with it. I saw it later. But the thing is, like I said, parents aren't perfect. Okay. And And so sometimes, you know, you make decisions, and some things, you know, you like, and some things you don't like. Mm-hmm. I appreciated the standard that I had, that my parents had, as far as godliness. Some of the stuff I didn't understand. They were influenced quite a bit by what might be considered kind of like holiness right now, as far as like in the movement. Mm-hmm. It's Assemblies of God, but still very very much aware of what we did. So we didn't go to movies. Mm-hmm. We could go bowling, which a lot of people didn't, but we could not have a deck of cards in our house.
No.
Like playing cards. Mm-hmm. But however, we were allowed to play Rook. And but so it was a different, because people gambled with playing cards. Mm-hmm. And so, but the game of Rook, I don't know if any of you have heard of that anyway, and we would call it Pentecostal poker. And it was hilarious. You use it the same way as you did other cards. But those were allowed, the others were not. And I was like, why? What's that? What sense does that make? Mm-hmm. But then at other times, like when there would be things that in school, I would know in my heart, because of how I was raised and I knew the Word of God, this isn't right. And so sometimes even reading assignments, I remember when the book, The Amityville Horror, came out, and it was a required reading for in my high school class. Mm-hmm. I remember what year, maybe my 10th grade year, something like that. And I was like, I don't want to read a horror book.
Yeah,
I really don't. And so I told my parents, I said, this is required reading. I said, would you please send something that that tells them that I don't want to read this. I don't want to read some demonically inspired thing.
Yeah.
And so, and they were like, absolutely, we'll do that. And, you know, under, you know, this is how we believe. And so, you know, I don't want Todd to have to read this. And so I was excused from that. I had given another book I could read. Mm-hmm. But
I should have done that.
You know, there's certain things that, you know, you can do as parents that are going to be very helpful, and other things. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you're just going to have to admit, as you get older and your parents, you know, you look back and you think, yeah, I'm not sure exactly why I did that. I don't know why, because it just, you know, it's your first time or your second time. Mm-hmm. And so not all parents are do the always the right things. Mm-hmm. Are there some things that, you know, before we close this out here, that you can think of that, well, this really helped me in following the plan of God or in hearing God as I was growing up?
Yeah. I will say, you know, the saying goes, whatever you do in moderation, someone will do in excess. And it's usually the people under you. So parents, whatever you do in moderation, your children will do in excess. And so when it comes to, you know, certain things, there are stances that you have to make that may seem a little excessive, but your children will grow up and realize they were only going over, you know, above and beyond because they want me to live a certain way. And and unfortunately in the world today, you know, with how things are going, you really do have to be the complete opposite.
Yeah.
Because the world's going to teach something that is, you know, far this way. You have to teach something that's far that way in order for your kids to end up, you know, going down the right way, the middle of it. And so sometimes you do have to take that, you know, extremer stance, so that, because, like, for example, if my parents just, I'll just use, you know, drinking for example, because a lot of people like to make this excuse. But if my parents just drank, you know, in moderation and everything, and just had, you know, a little bit of alcohol in the house, I can guarantee you that as a high schooler, if I grew up thinking it's okay to drink, then I would have, you know, in high school gone out to parties and stuff and gotten drunk and everything.
Yeah. We were at a Christian school, though.
Yes, mom, doesn't
so
matter.
So nobody did that, right?
I was the first time I was offered alcohol was actually at my Christian school. Not at the school, but with friends who went there. So not everyone who
from the principal.
No,
no, I'm just kidding. No, the Bible teacher.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised. But anyway. But no, not everyone who goes to a Christian school are Christians, and definitely not raised the same way that you're raised. But the point that I'm trying to make is there are certain things that, you know, my parents did that may have, you know, seemed excessive to me at the time. But growing up, I've come to realize, you know, they were right in what they did. And because they were this way, I turned out to be, you know, I would say pretty good, pretty well set. But things that my parents did that helped me was, of course, keeping me in the Word, making sure that I was following the call of God on my life, disciplining me when I veered off course, and, you know, directing me back in love and explaining, you know, why I was wrong and what to do going forward. Because that's the big thing, is if you're correcting and you're disciplining your kids and they ask, you know, why? Because I said so. You know, there are certain things that you...
Sometimes kids, you heard that.
Right, yeah. So then sometimes it's appropriate, like, you need to do this just because I said so, because you need to be obedient. But there are other times where explanation is needed. Like, look, this is why we do not do these things. And show them the dangers of it. And so...
Yeah, there was many times when we would sit down with you guys and we'd explain, okay,
yeah,
so that you understand why we're making the decision that we're making. It's not that you have to, as a parent, explain, but sometimes, like you said, it's very necessary to help, it, because this helps train your children, and that's what parents are supposed to do, train up a child in the way he should go. You can't train without taking time, explaining, showing how, sometimes reasoning, answering questions. All of these things are necessary.
Yeah, because sometimes the kid doesn't know the danger that they're getting into with something. So you have to explain what's wrong with that and why they should and need to stay away from that.
Yeah, it's just like when
instead of just having a rule. No.
Right. Yeah. When me and Ethan went out one day and grabbed some eggs from the refrigerator and just... Because we had the idea, you know, it'd be kind of cool to just throw these around. And so we went to like a neighbor's house and we were just throwing them up on their roof. And we didn't even know that, like, that was illegal. Like, that's egging someone's house. You can get in trouble for that. But, you know, if
thankfully it wasn't to our house.
Right. My parents, they told us to stop, but they didn't just tell us, like, hey, just stop doing that, and us asking why, and they just, because I said so. It was, no, because it's illegal, and you guys can get in trouble for that. And we were like, it's illegal? I didn't know that. And so your kids may not even know, legitimately not know, that what they're doing is wrong. And so you might need to explain, you know, this is why it's wrong. And so then they're like, oh, okay. And you know, if mom and dad had just said, no, just don't do it because I said so, me and Ethan probably would have gone out again and egged the house, not knowing that it was actually illegal.
Because throwing eggs on someone's house is pretty fun.
Right. It actually is kind of fun to throw eggs. I don't know what it is. It must be a guy thing. Just because you throw it, it explodes. You're like, whoa, let's do it again.
one more time.
And so, but if we had, you know, now that we knew, you know, it was illegal and we'd get in trouble for it with, you know, a police officer or something, if he saw us doing it, then we were like, okay, well, maybe we won't do this again. So we haven't egged any houses since then.
Yeah.
But
in recent days.
No, I don't think I've ever egged a house.
According to your knowledge.
Yes, as far as you know.
Okay. So as we're wrapping this up, any other further thoughts that either of you guys have in regards to this thing and about parenting, helping... good, bad, ugly, what? Anything?
I know it took my parents a while to realize this, but get your kids a dog.
You know? Get your kids a dog?
Get your kids a dog. Or at least a pet. Maybe work up to a dog. Teaches them responsibility.
Okay, good.
It's a lot of fun. Still working on them to try to get a second dog. Because we need it. I mean, I know we worked up from, what, like a fish, then to Hammy the Hamster, and then went to Angel. It was a demon
dog.
Yeah. Went to Riley, and now we're at Sadie. So, yeah. It teaches you responsibility. Also, get your kid in sports. See a lot of kids these days cannot catch a ball to save their life.
Get your kids outside.
Start crying.
I mean, me and Ethan, the way, because like outside me and, more me than and Ethan are closer in age than like me and Blake, so that's why I'm just referencing him. But me and Ethan grew up, you know, playing outside, and that's how we made a lot of our friends in the neighborhood, you know, going out into the woods,
trespassing,
getting lost. It, you know, it teaches your kid some survival techniques, but also just how to have fun outside of the house. You know, I was talking to the dean of our school here just a couple days ago, and he was like, the punishment for me when I was growing up was, oh, you're not allowed to go play outside anymore.
Me too.
Nowadays, if you get punished, it's go outside. Play outside. And so you need to get your kids, get them off of electronics. There's, you know, there's a time and a place for it. They may be able to play video games here and there, but get them outside and do stuff. And
throw
not to mention that it's like statistically proven that you're more healthy when you go outside and your immune system gets built up. You need the sun for the vitamins and everything. And so you need to be outside. You need to be playing. Get your kids in sports so that they learn teamwork, so that they develop their bodies to be strong. There's
let
so many.
Let them wrestle. Let them roughhouse.
Yeah, let boys be boys.
Yeah, especially boys, I mean, I would wrestle with you boys.
Yeah, that was like some of the
I coached you also in sports when you were learning sports. And so we had great times. A lot of fun. Yeah, we'd have WWE in our house.
I mean, Jacob wrestled in the Bible. It's biblical.
Absolutely. So you got to have fun with your kids.
Yeah.
And, you know, times of discipline too, spiritual times, and then sometimes just nothing but fun. Just have fun.
We had a lot
it
of fun.
It doesn't have to just be everything doesn't have to be spiritual.
Yeah.
And you know, as much as we were at the church, our parents always took time to be just with us, whether that was at the house, whether we were going to do something, going on vacation, you know, whatever it was, like there was always set apart time where it was just for us. And so that is very necessary in bringing up children and stuff, because that's the way they feel loved.
Yeah.
You know, kids spell love T-I-M-E. And so
it's not just because they're raised in Tennessee and don't know how to spell.
I spelled that right.
You spent, they spell love T-I-M-E.
Yeah,
I said it, I said it's not just because it's raised in Tennessee.
You were saying I spelled time wrong.
No,
I was
you like, did. What? You spelled it right. You spelled love wrong.
Yes. Okay. Gotcha. Whatever. You know, it's just a saying.
But it is a saying, and it's very important, and it's very true. Yep. And so you know, and the kids, you know, sometimes you just want to tell them everything that you know, and you know, always be firm with them, and always be strict and everything, and you're really going to hurt your whole family if you're just coming across always strict and you know, you need to be. I mean, maybe 15% of the time you got to be rigid. Other than that, about 85% of the time you need to be adaptable.
Yeah,
and work with things. Okay. Not rigidity. That doesn't work real good in life as a whole, okay?
Yeah.
So
that was because, you know, my dad, you know, very busy when we were down in Tampa.
Sure.
And everything. Like, people don't even realize the extent of what all he did. But he always, you know, took time to be with us, but he always, you know, because of like, you know, the stress of a job and everything, people can tend to be, you know, come home and be super serious, like he said, super rigid and everything. But when it comes to your kids, you know, you need to be loving and kind to them as well, so that they're not afraid of you as soon as you come home.
For sure.
But the dad, you know, as much stress as the job had at many times, was still, you know, very loving, very kind, very fun with us, and that's how we knew that he loved us.
Right.
Of course, there were times where, you know, discipline and stuff, but he, even in those times of discipline, explaining that he loved us. And, you know, when you're raising up kids, you need to make sure that they know that they're loved. You need to be telling them, you know, I love you. and stuff. If your kid goes their whole childhood without hearing I love you, it'll affect them. And sure. And unfortunately, many times that happens, especially like with the father. And so, you know, as a father, you need to be telling your kids, I love you. I'm proud of you. If they do something for you, thank you for doing this for me. You know, affirming them, especially if they're boys and you're their father, you need to grow, train them up to be strong men,
yeah,
strong but kind men as well, because you can gentle be strong men and gentle at the same time.
Yep. That's good. Very true. We have a dearth of manly men, and we need more.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
And be able to take jokes with your kids. Like, have a good time. Our family is so much fun because we're always, you know, joking with each other and having a good time. And that, you know, whether we're at the church, whether we're at home, it doesn't matter. We're having a good time together.
And we have dinner together.
Yes.
This is like a rule in our family. We have dinner together, no devices at the table, and we talk, we laugh, we have fun, we talk about anything. Not a bunch of stress and strife at the table or anything like that. But it's important, a time where the family all comes together and you all do something together, and it's not strict, but it is family. And it's family. Family is very, very important.
Yeah.
It's very important. It's the foundation of the church.
For sure. Mm-hmm.
Definitely so. Well, I think we're going to wrap it up here today. And so we appreciate you for listening and hanging in there with us. And so we hope that you listen again. We love you. God bless you. Have an absolutely amazing day. And so bye-bye from Todd, Bryce, and Ethan and the Last Days Podcast.
See you.
Ciao.
Bye.
Hey, this is Dr. Todd Holmes, and I want to thank you for listening to this podcast, whether it was myself or my amazing wife, Katie, maybe the two of us together. If you want to be more than just an occasional listener and desire to really stand with us as we take the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to this generation, go to riveroftricities.com. That's riveroftricities.com, and click on Donate to be a part of the Last Days Army of monthly partners that we're taking ground with. If you'd like to do that, I would like to send you a special gift for partnering with us. So until next time, thank you so much for listening. God bless you.